Okay, hour number two on Monday. Welcome back. It's the Jeff and Erica Hour. You there, partner?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Yeah, I'll take your word for that. Crazy out there. I'm not sure what's a good evening anymore anyhow. Have a good day. Have a wonderful day. Oh, have a wonderful rest of your day. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you for coming in here and shopping. Thank you. Have a great day. I'm getting tired of all these heartless good wishes I'm showered with. Have a wonderful rest of your day. No. Not for me. Okay. Now, the title of this little journey we're going to take in the next hour is Jeff and Erica, to continue to mask or not? That is a big question. Followed by a mystery outbreak of hepatitis. I think some of you have seen this in infants all the way up to teenagers. It may well be, it's probably likely connected somehow to the adenovirus vector and the J&J and the AstraZeneca bioweapon injections. Most likely. They have pinpointed an adenovirus apparently in the hepatitis infections in these kids. So we'll talk more about that in a bit. Now, we know very well the physics and the hole sizes in the masks, and we know the issue. We know that it's a ping pong ball through a tennis net, whatever. But you don't understand unless you do the reading that even something smaller, right, than a hole in the mask can get trapped in it because of the longitude and latitude involved in its forward process. It can be kicked this way or that way and get stuck. That's how it works. So they do work. They can trap things that are smaller than the smallest holes in the mask. It happens. Now, do you want to wear a mask or not? Nobody wants to wear a mask. Do you want to stay healthy and alive? Yes, you have to factor that in when you make your final decision. We don't think it's asking too much to wear a mask to protect yourselves. When you go into a store for 20 minutes, half an hour, you go into a store for 5 minutes, put your mask on. What do you have to lose? The masks do work to a degree. Let's say they give you an extra 10 or 15% protection. And remember what I said, they will catch viral particles that go through holes because the viral particles move this way and that. They don't go, it's not a straight line, and they get stuck. So what is your life worth? Would you rather have that 10 or 15% or not? So when you go into a store and you see people with no masks, everyone basically with no masks, you have to think of the bigger picture and the obvious question. Why did they suddenly drop the masks? And Erica has the answer.
Well, I think they know that these vaccines shed. They've reached a kind of a stall out for the number of people that are willing to be jabbed at this point, and they're going to rely on human-to-human transmission to finish the job.
They had this planned out from the beginning. And don't forget that Bobby Malone said that this has been gamed, i.e. analyzed with supercomputers for 20 years. They know precisely what's going to happen long before they implement whatever policy it is they're going to throw at us. They know. They've got all the angles played, all the percentages run, and they're constantly being updated with real-time data infusions into these supercomputers. They know. It's no contest. So we have to be a little smarter than they are when we can. And continuing to wear a mask is one thing. We didn't talk about supplement taking here. We could do that, but not tonight. The mask will help you to a degree. All right? Now, is it the mask with the black fibers in it? No. You have to find a real N95 mask and wear it properly. And it, if you can find an old stock somewhere, you're better off. Is it a cloth mask? No. No. That's not what we're talking about either. So a proper N95 mask. When was I reading that about the N95 mask? I can't remember. I just read a whole story. I posted a story about it yesterday. It's in headlines.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I did see it. Yeah, it explains it pretty well.
They work. So don't throw it away. Understand you're being...
To a degree. Are they foolproof? No. But they will cut down.
We've never seen...
And if they were worthless, you would not see, surgeons in hospitals using them. So they are effective to a point. You've got to be smart about it. Hygiene is huge. Disinfecting them in between uses is huge, or dispose of them. But they are worth something. They're not totally useless.
Just remember, a floating protein or a floating viral particle will always attach to something. It's like magnets, positive to negative, okay? They're going to pick up their polar opposite. And they'll be bigger then. So they won't be the same size that you might think they would be. They'll be bigger. Double, triple, depends on what they bind with in the atmosphere. So wouldn't you rather have some protection? I think most people would. So we are recommending the continuing wearing of masks when you're around other people, especially in a closed environment.
Yeah, we're talking about, we know the spike protein has sequences in it that are from HIV, rabies.
How can that be? How did they get in there?
Prion binding sites.
Answer,
I don't know, do you want to be breathing that?
They were put in there. And yes, do you want to be breathing that? Okay? Do you want to be breathing spike proteins?
No.
And if you're clever enough to fly to India to get your Novavax shot, how many trillion spike proteins are you getting per injection?
About 3.8 trillion.
So do you feel lucky today? They're not giving you the mRNA to go in and set up manufacturing of spike proteins in your body. No, they're cutting the corner. They're giving you the spike protein straight away. So for those of you out there, with an adjuvant, please, for God's sakes, don't buy into the lies about this Novavax. It is no safer. In fact, it may be worse.
No, we are seeing quite a bit of adverse events with that vaccine, unfortunately.
You mean like injuries and deaths?
Yes, well, certainly myocarditis, that has been reported and documented, confirmed.
Get my 5 years, maybe 6 years, maybe.
Yeah, it's a shame, really, that it has been pretty much casualized. Myocarditis, pericarditis, it's no big deal.
It's a huge deal, huge permanent heart injuries. Okay. Permanent heart injuries. I have a hunch that the organ transplant business is taking off to the moon.
I suspect you're right. We had a 30-second commercial for the British Heart Association advertising, showing a little kid with this scar down the middle of his chest. Yeah, I don't know. What would you say? The kid was 4 years old, maybe? Already had a heart transplant.
He had his chest cracked and his heart was damaged heart was taken out. Probably got a Pfizer or Moderna and they gave him a new heart. Is that going to solve his problem if he somehow doesn't reject it? No. Why? Because the spike does a lot more than destroy the human heart. Lots more. So the kids, if Malone could ever be considered a hero, it would be for saving lives in terms of getting parents not to inject their children. And I'll give him that 7 days a week. But the bottom line is, it's happening, and apparently in this country, the CDC or FDA has approved now these deadly world genocide-grade bioweapons for use in children. What is it, Erica? Under 6 months?
Yeah, infants. Yep.
How do we evaluate a parent that would give a five-month-old baby one of those injections to protect the baby allegedly against a virus that no longer exists, right? With a vaccine that is clearly dangerous. And even if the virus did exist, it's still 99.9997% survivable with no treatment. No treatment. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, whatever. Supplemental treatment. So this is insanity. Any parent giving a child, a little baby, this devil's, I gotta watch my language. I really get upset about this. Children, they should be off limits, but they're
not. Yeah, it's a witch's brew. Obviously the parents don't know. They don't know. They're relying on their television or their Yahoo News to tell them what to do, and they don't question it.
When you have a child, first of all, the blessing of having a healthy child is becoming, it's harder to find healthy children. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, if you are blessed and have a healthy child, why wouldn't you intuitively do every bit of research possible if you were even thinking about doing something like that? Why would you look at the TV and take the instruction and shoot up your child and watch your child die? That is, if the child's even born. A large percentage of them aren't even making it to birth. They're dying, and then they call it stillbirth.
The miscarriage rate now for women that get the shot while they're pregnant in the first 3 months is 75%.
Please think about that. 75% of women who are pregnant and get the shot, the shot kills the baby. It's called murder. And now California's pushing...
If it doesn't kill the baby, and by some miracle, the pregnancy is carried to term and you actually have a live birth, I think you're always going to have a cloud of worry, wondering, what genetic anomaly occurred during this child's development. I mean, the DNA has to be impacted in some manner.
I just know intuitively that most of these people, most of these mothers are on social media at least, and they're going to hear the argument. It's not like they're living in a vacuum. They're going to hear the argument about to shoot or not to shoot. And now the kids are involved. And I don't know how many groups there are. Is there a group on all the social media platforms for the primary topics that this kill shot has engendered? In other words, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, probably the only one that isn't there is for the people who are losing their vision because they can't type. Unless somebody types for them. But yeah, well, we have people going blind. We have people who are paralyzed. We have people with, debilitating ringing in the ears. People with balance problems, people with heart problems, people with gastrointestinal issues.
I don't know. All right, let's go back to the issue of masks. Here you are on an airplane. I don't know what they're doing on airplanes now, but if you're in a closed environment like that with 200, 300, I don't know how many people, 200 people, and they say they exchange the air every 2-3 minutes completely. All right, well, maybe so. But if you're sitting next to somebody who's shedding, exuding particulates, it's not going to do much good if they change the air every 2 or 3 minutes, because that air has to be moved through the cabin and then out and replaced. So it's going to be filtered right past you. And then you've got somebody next to you who's going to continue to shed on you the entire flight. I think you're going to see people on airplanes who are smart, who have to fly, who will still be wearing masks, and maybe even other more aggressive forms of air filtration, like a half face mask with a double cartridge. I think you're going to see that in some cases. And the whole idea, as Erica said long ago, is to mix and mingle the sheep so they pick up that 20% that didn't get the shots. That's what this is about. This was all thought out. It was all built into the vax, which should never be called a vax, but it is. And they knew what they were doing, and they still know what they're doing. So,
yeah, I don't view this change in policy, you know, not wearing a mask on an airplane at this point, as any sort of, I don't know, conciliatory gesture on their part or concession.
We didn't
win
anything.
I think it's intentional. You know what? Historically, air travel is a magnificent way to spread pathogens. And you know, anybody that's traveled on a plane, you know how packed these seating arrangements are. You know, you're practically sitting in the person who's next to you in their lap.
I'll never fly again. I haven't flown for 25 years.
Oh, it's an adventure.
Let's say let you fly outside in a special container or something. I don't know. It's all quite clearly planned. They're 5 steps ahead of the sheep, and we're trying to stay up and give you the best we can in order to make your decision. But I don't know about mask types except N95 masks. There's something called a KN95. Is that a Korean-made N95 mask?
No, I forget. I forget what the difference was. I think the KN95 is actually a bit better than the N95.
Let me look the magic internet up here and find out. KN95. Oh, we have a wonderful video for you, too. Yeah, it's pretty disgusting, that video. That's not funny. We'll get there in a minute. Let's see. KN95. Masks. Okay. Masks and respirators. No. Best N95 mask versus KN95 mask for travel. April 9th, 2022. Let's see what this says. This is real-time research. All right. This is Rolling Stone. Which worked best to protect against COVID when traveling? First of all, there is no more original COVID. Explain that, will you, please?
Sure. Well, yes, the initial virus that was identified in Wuhan and whipped around the world in a couple months' time is now extinct. It has mutated multiple times and is very different from the original virus. I mean, one of the good things is that these latest variants that are dominating don't produce the very intense clotting issues that the original Wuhan strain did. And apparently the Omicron variant does not have the prion binding sites in it that that original strain had, and I think also the Alpha, Gamma, and Delta ones did.
Where did it go, Erica?
That's a good question. I mean, you could make the argument that, it just disappeared through natural evolution. But those who have looked at the sequencing in the Omicron variant contend that this was a lab-generated virus. There were just too many mutations in it to think that it evolved naturally.
Boy, are we being played.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See, now they're saying COVID and Omicron. Omicron was in all likelihood another lab-created release.
Or we don't know. I mean, it could have been seeded in the population through a vaccine. Nobody knows what's in these needles or these injections.
So they could have used you, ladies and gentlemen, to be a petri dish to create and emit and suffer from Omicron.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the breakdown. But how does an N95 mask work, says Rolling Stone, and how is it different from the KN95 mask? And is an N95 mask effective against COVID and Omicron? We break down what you need to know, plus review some of the best N95 and KN95 masks we've tested that you can buy online. All right, let's see what it says here. Both N95 masks and KN95 masks are made from multiple layers of synthetic material, typically a polypropylene plastic polymer, and are designed to be worn over the mouth and nose. Straps behind your ear help hold the mask in place. Both masks filter out and capture 95% of tiny 0.3 micron particles in the air, hence the 95 names. Now, let me stop there just for a minute. They're catching 0.3 micron particles in the air, but since many of these 0.3 micron particles in the air are attached to something else, they're actually bigger than that. Right? If you have COVID or Omicron in the air, it's going to bind up with something else in the air. Right? That's what...
Well, so you have to define the size of the virus. The size of the virus, the coronavirus, they estimate is somewhere around 100 nanometers, give or take. So that's point... One, is it 0.1 micron, right?
0.1.
Yeah.
So these will capture 0.3, which are three times bigger than 0.1,
mm-hmm.
if I'm still able to think. N95 masks offer protection against particles as small as 0.3 microns in size. And while the coronavirus itself is around 0.1 microns in size... Well done. Well done. It's usually attached to something larger. See? Such as droplets that are generated by everyday activities like breathing and talking. So it's not just the 0.1 you have to deal with here. You got bigger. 0.2, 0.3, 4, 5. It depends on how big the item is that that particular pathogen is attached to. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the multiple layers of non-woven fabric and melt-blown fabric in the N95 masks, the strong material makeup of these masks are great at preventing airborne particles from entering through your mouth and nose. But let me go back to this first sentence again. This is important. And while the coronavirus itself is around 0.1 microns in size, it's usually attached to something larger, such as droplets that are generated by everyday activities like breathing and talking. Got that? Okay. So there's your argument against people who say, nah, they're much smaller than the holes in the mask that don't work. These masks are not something like a template of holes that are stamped out. They're layer upon layer of non-woven fabric and melt-blown fabric. These are very sophisticated now. So think about this. You can get a 20-pack of N95 masks now. They're selling these online. They're NIOSH N95 foldable masks. 20-pack for $60. Don't know how long you can wear them for, but if they start to smell and turn colors, you probably want to get rid of them.
Yeah, I would definitely, you know, find a way to disinfect them in between uses. I mean, use your head.
A clever way to disinfect is?
Oh, you could just expose it to UV light. You know, the inside, well, both sides preferably. Or, you know, if you have an ozone generator.
Easy with the ozone. Or you could stick it outside in the sunlight. Turn it over after 10 minutes. You probably got a fairly sterile mask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But how are N95 masks different from KN95 masks? The main difference lies in how the masks are certified. In general, says somebody, N95 is the U.S. standard, and the KN95 is the Chinese standard. So, I said Korea was wrong. It's China. Because of this, only N95 masks are approved for healthcare use in the U.S., even though KN95 masks have many of the very same protective qualities. So I don't think it matters much. You want to just protect yourself. Give yourself that extra 10 or 15%, whatever it is. And if you see somebody sneezing or coughing, stay the hell away. This is common sense. And this is nothing by any stretch of the imagination to be construed as we're talking negative about vaxxed people. We're not. Vaxxed people with their declining immune systems should also be wearing the masks. Why? Because they have declining immune systems. Get it? So
yeah.
Both sides of the aisle should be wearing masks. I know,
you know,
about
the other
carbon
thing
dioxide.
Too,
I'm not worried about it. Go ahead.
You know, they're relaxing things right now because they're guaranteed there's going to be an upsurge in cases for one reason or another. And like a boomerang, these mask mandates are going to come back. You can bet on it.
Well, actually, it would be a good thing.
Yeah,
unless they allow
it would.
The cheap cloth masks, like any face barrier, they say. Oh, any face barrier. No, you've got to get an N95 and the Chinese version is probably okay. I certainly would, if I got a Chinese version, I would look at it under at least a 10-power magnification to see if there are any weird particles in it. I don't trust the Chinese.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Did you have an email you were going to read?
I certainly do. This was a good one, though. It's Rolling Stone, and they did cover the issue, so now you know the difference between KN95 and N95. All right, let me find my story. We get some remarkable people writing in here. This is a very good one. You know any songs while I find this?
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy. I haven't heard that in years. All right. Here it is. This is from Hannah. And thank you, Hannah, for writing and taking the time. We really appreciate it. Dear Jeff and Erica, my name is Hannah, and I live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I love your show, and everything that you have said has always made sense to me. I hope the information I give today about shedding will help you. I have worn the N95 mask and haven't stopped wearing the N95 mask after I had a terrifying shedding incident that happened to me last year in June of 2021. I taught a freshly vaxxed student in a non-ventilated room for 6 hours. Where I work, the ventilation is not good. Look at any room where massage therapists do massages, and you will see that the ventilation is bad. So she was teaching massage work to this young man. When I was done teaching the student about energy healing, I am a healer, energy, so healer slash energy, healer slash biomagnetic healer, and I assume a massage therapist, maybe not. Okay, I felt so sick after 6 hours in the room that I went into uncontrollable shakes. Thinking progressively got worse for me until I had a mini heart attack. Things got worse and worse, and she had a heart attack? Because I have been trained in biomagnetics and Chinese medicine, plus my boyfriend is trained in Chinese medicine and is a master herbalist, my boyfriend and I managed to save my life without needing to go to the hospital. After that incident, I have spent all of the rest of last year and this year avoiding the vaccinated as much as I could. I can't avoid them shopping. We all can't. I have always wondered why I can't be in a non-ventilated room or any enclosed space with the vaccinated and still have shedding symptoms while wearing the N95 mask. Clearly the N95 masks aren't working for her in that circumstance. Small room, no air moving at all. Maybe the N95 mask was sealed up to her face right. We don't know. So I bought a dual cartridge half mask. It's called a P100, right? They're known as asbestos and lead respirator gas masks. They have two cartridges, one on each side of your cheek, and it covers the bridge of your nose and your lower chin. So she bought one of those. Home Depot has them there all over the place. Any paint store would have them. I went to work the next day, and I finally had a good day with the half mask respirator. I could breathe better, but I didn't experience any shedding symptoms. I left work a happy woman, but concerned also because I realized shedding is not a particulate. It's a gas. My boyfriend and I looked up what kinds of toxic gases the human body that is decomposing can produce. Now, we'll get back to that remark, decomposing, a little later. They produce hydrogen sulfide, carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrogen. Now, here's a short list of the symptoms that those gases can cause. One, at low levels, hydrogen sulfide causes irritation of the eyes, nose, and throat. Moderate levels can cause headache, dizziness, nausea, and vomiting, as well as coughing and difficulty breathing. Higher levels can cause shock, convulsions, coma, and death. That's hydrogen sulfide. Rotten eggs. Number two, carbon dioxide, CO2. Poisoning symptoms are nausea, vomiting, dizziness, headache, rapid breathing and heart rate, and flushing. Number three, risks of methane gas. Rapid breathing, increased heart rate, clumsiness and dizziness, decreased vision, especially in low light, decreased alertness, loss of memory, and weakness. And number four, when formaldehyde is present in the air at levels exceeding 0.1 ppm, some individuals may experience adverse effects such as watery eyes, burning sensations in the eyes, nose, and throat, coughing, wheezing, nausea, and skin irritation. And finally, I find the symptoms above are like the shedding symptoms. Any thoughts on this? The only way for the vaccinated to be decomposing is that their bodies must be going through some sort of metabolic process. Any thoughts on that? Thank you for considering this information. I would be interested in hearing what you both think. Kind regards, Hannah. Thank you, Hannah, very much for bringing this to our attention. All right, young lady, your turn.
Oh, this is a really interesting email and very good feedback. Thank you, Hannah. So that's very telling. I mean, here's somebody that was experiencing symptoms consistently every time they were in close proximity to a vaxxed person, particularly in close quarters, wasn't getting any relief even with a mask, but then had to resort to a respirator type of mask and was able to have those symptoms be diminished. It does suggest that it's either whatever is being shed is a gas, maybe some kind of bacterial metabolite. The interesting thing that we have to keep in mind, though, is usually these vaxxed people that are shedding are not symptomatic themselves, but they are making other people sick in some cases. So what could be the reason for that? The possibility that they could be shedding spike protein, I think, is still there. The spike protein itself is about, well, the full-length spike protein is about 15 nanometers. So that could slip through NN95. I mean, that's many times smaller, 100 times smaller than the virus itself. So that, I think, is still on the table. And the vax may be making antibodies to these proteins so they're not being affected. And then whatever they're shedding into the environment is affecting other people. Yeah, it could be that. It could be bacterial metabolites.
Well, remember what we read the other night, Friday, about the healers, three of them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how when they went in to do their healing sessions, which I think Hannah is an energy healer as well, they saw these people, and these are older professionals, 70 and 80, I believe. They saw these people as the vaxxed, as already dying. And now maybe the odors and the gases being emitted are tantamount to a decaying body. Not a lot, but a little. You got a decayed immune system. You have all manner of bacteria, viruses, and other mold, yeast, fungus invading the body, and they're not being destroyed. And the body might actually be beginning to die and giving off those death signature gases. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think that what these people have been injected with, though, is something so hideously toxic that the body's going to try to expel it through any means, whether it has to come through the skin, you know, through it vapors, exhalations, secretions, whatever. I think it's that toxic that they're in a state of detox, overdrive almost. And so this stuff is just being spewed into the environment. And in many cases with some chemicals, the metabolites of those chemicals are more toxic than the original substance. And back several months ago when we were tossing around the idea that maybe they were using this mifepristone RU486 in this technology, which is something that they use with transfection technologies. We don't know if it's in this, but it is a progesterone antagonist. And the metabolites of it are more potent than the original mifepristone.
Wow.
So it's one big question mark, but I think it's interesting, and we need to take notice that she did, get relief by resorting to a respirator.
Now that respirator,
I think, is noteworthy.
It's not a full face. It goes up to the bridge of your nose and comes down below your eyes, covers your mouth and nose. And on each side of it, you've seen them, there's a square-shaped plastic cartridge, right? There's this rubber strap that goes around the back of your head. I think you're going to see more of those. This was a P100 that she mentioned that worked for her. Now, that's not to say that N95, KN95s aren't just fine for going into a grocery store. She was talking over and over again about being in a closed room with virtually no ventilation, okay? So that room would be packed with the exudate, including spike protein, from someone who's been in, especially apparently new vaccinated people, newly vaccinated.
Yeah, they do seem to be the most potent. I think the levels of spike protein peak on day five, anywhere from day 2 to 5, these people are really spewing the spike.
Yeah, you wonder how that can be, Erica, if it's a Pfizer or Moderna, because theoretically, the mRNA has to get in there and get set up and start producing.
Oh, that happens within seconds or minutes,
yeah,
I should say.
Understood, but why is there a peak so quickly? Why wouldn't it build up into a crescendo over a period, maybe 2 weeks or something? Why so fast?
Well, it's on a cellular level, so that's a lot of foreign protein being produced in a short period of time by many, many organs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that it stayed at the injection site, wow. And tragically, they're finding out, thanks to the work of Dr. Arne Burkhardt over in Germany, who's doing all the autopsies, they're finding out that the endothelium, meaning the lining of the blood vessels, is taking a really good hit, becoming transfected with this stuff, and essentially destroying the endothelium. And this is one reason why people are clotting. It's not the only reason, but it's a big reason.
We had another video of that same embalmer who's been in earlier videos showing clots being pulled out of a vein and an artery of a deceased individual. And the one from the vein was, 2.5 feet long?
Yeah, it was long.
And the one from the artery was about a foot and a half. So
the question
is, how can life continue in a mammal that requires blood circulation? I mean, these clots, I don't know how anything could squeeze around them. They look like they had completely occluded the vein and certainly blocked the artery.
I think they're forming slowly over a long period of time, and it's so subtle that the person doesn't really know what's happening until, it reaches a critical mass and, an entire limb is deprived of a blood supply or a vital organ.
Or they pass out.
Yeah.
A lot of that. All right, crazy. All right, we have a video here. You want to set this? It's under our names and guests. Go ahead, set it up, and I'll play it.
This is apparently an individual in, looks like, Manhattan, New York City. And the title of the video is One Too Many Boosters. And he's definitely has some issues.
Impulse control issues,
maybe.
Is he out thinking he's being funny? Is he out really just kind of out of it, out of control? I don't have the answer. But for those of you who are listening where you can't look at a screen, it's a 60-second video, 34 seconds. It's some guy in black short shorts, nothing else, standing out in the middle of the street in New York City, growling like a zombie. Here, I don't know if the guy's just being a jerk or if he's...
It's hard to know. People are laughing at him, but he's not laughing back.
No, he's not. It's a good thing to look at. I think we're going to see more of this all the time. Remember all the zombie movies, everybody.
Ah!
Well, shades of things to come. Or just an idiot out making a spectacle of himself for his 2.3 seconds of fame. 34 seconds of fame. Never mind. It's all, I don't know. Are you still noticing? We're getting a lot of email about traffic. Several emails from people say traffic has never been worse in their areas. Even multiple routes taken to the same destination, full bumper-to-bumper traffic. That is still going on, obviously. However, in some cities, it is not going on. I remember when we had an MD tell us several months ago, he had driven through downtown Kansas City, I think. And he said he just couldn't believe it. He just drove right on through. And then we had one email from somebody talking about Orange County, and he had gone through the whole Orange County bumper-to-bumper thing and never hit the brakes once. And yet people wrote back and said, no, that's not true. We have bumper-to-bumper traffic just like always. So I don't know. But I do know in my smaller town, and I think in your smaller town too, same thing, much less traffic.
Yeah, much less. Most days it seems like a Sunday afternoon. Even at rush hour, it's just, where are all the people?
And our tell them what our best guess is as to where all the people are.
Some have clearly died. There's no question. I think some just don't feel well. If they have had the vax, many are probably likely suffering from one of these many different adverse events that involve vertigo,
right,
dizziness, brain fog, vision issues. You know, they may not feel confident to get behind the wheel. And then there's a whole bunch of people that just feel off.
I mean,
I'm hearing that from people I know personally who got the vax, and they're just saying they describe it as a malaise.
Yeah, a malaise. Okay, let's jump into the horrible liver issues with our young people in the UK and in the U.S. Liver transplants for kids.
Yeah, suddenly there is, well, I guess this has been kind of developing. What was the date here? The first case was reported in Scotland March 31st. There were five cases of this hepatitis being seen in children. Now, hepatitis is an inflammation of the liver. And many times there's a virus at play, and the typical ones are hepatitis A, B, C, D, and E. And they began checking these children for any of those typical hepatitis viruses, and no, they were not infected with those viruses. And then more and more cases began showing up throughout Europe. Most of them are in the UK. There's a few in Israel, and there's six maybe in the US. They determined that it is a adenovirus at play. Now, normally, adenoviruses are not a big deal. If a kid has a healthy immune system, I mean, we're all exposed to adenoviruses. In fact, they're so common that they're considered part of the natural human virome. We can tolerate living with adenoviruses without issue, unless we're immune suppressed. Then they can become problematic. And particularly in children, if they have a faltering immune system, these adenoviruses can be very problematic. And I don't know if that's what we're seeing, but it's bad enough that several of them have had to have liver transplants, and one has now died. So it begs the question, why all of a sudden is adenovirus becoming a problem in children? Maybe these kids are immune suppressed. I guess the jury's out on that. I don't know if they've looked into that yet. But it's everything from an infant all the way up to a 16-year-old. So it's a wide range of kids. Or could it be the adenoviral vector that was used in the AstraZeneca, the J&J, that is shedding, forming variants of its own. And
I don't think we can count that out.
Particularly devastating for kids. They know adenoviruses shed. Despite what they say that it doesn't shed, they shed. They absolutely shed.
So if you,
but they're
you
saying, no, the vaccine is not at play. Well, wouldn't be the first time they lied.
That's all they do. So if someone got a J&J with the adenovirus as the vector, or AZ, 6 months ago, do we think they're still shedding, or has that adenovirus run its course? Now, remember, it was an attenuated, allegedly, adenovirus, so it should have
died. Replication deficient. It was only supposed to do its thing and then not be able to continue. One and done.
Supposedly.
Type of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is that, number one, in the manufacturing of that, if they did not remove all of these so-called helper viruses, that thing could very easily come back to life and be replication competent. Or it can borrow the genes it needs to be replication competent from an adenovirus that the host may be harboring.
They're very common, remember that.
Very common, yes. So that may be what's happening. And so for the AstraZeneca, they used a non-human adenovirus, one that came from a chimpanzee. We've never injected that into millions of people.
How smart. How clever. How creative. Pushing the frontiers of science to new heights.
Yeah, what they've unleashed is you know, it's going to have consequences in ways we can't even imagine.
We don't. And the more we look, the more I hear from Erica, and we study this material pretty carefully, and it is bad. It's not something to take lightly. We're never going back to normal. I'm sorry to say it. I really am. You really should think about it. I will post that article for you from Rolling Stone on the differences between the KN95 and the N95. It's really negligible. They're both excellent. And if you're in a reasonably ventilated room, like an open ceiling supermarket, whatever, you'd be fine. You'll have that extra 10 or 15% protection, whatever it may be. I don't know. Maybe it's more. I don't know. But I'll take it, and watch for us on Wednesday. We're going to unveil some very, very interesting high-tech things that I think you'll like. Thank you, Erica.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure.
Take
Have
care.
Have a good evening. Okay,
oh,
good night.
Yes, night. Okay, there goes Erica, and we will be back with another hour. The amazing Mitchell Henderson, who has a worldwide following, and more analysis about World War III. And as I said before, if the U.S. and its proxy NATO armed army isn't pushing Putin against the wall for a nuclear war, I don't know what would. Back in a minute.